Today's Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, and can be found on page 813 of your Pew Bibles. That's Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paraplegic lying on the bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paraplegic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paraplegic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Yvonne. Thank you. Lord, thank you for this incredible scripture. Lord, thank you that you are a mighty tower that we can run into. And Lord, in that place, we ask you to be our teacher, be our guide. We ask you to speak to us the words that we need to hear today for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, everybody. And I hope you are looking for harvest, looking forward to harvest. We've got some great speakers. Darren McCarson will be a real blessing. So look forward to seeing you all there. And just a reminder, there is the usual harvest appeal, and that's going to go towards those 10 very important ministries and missions that we support. And there'll be the opportunity to give over the next number of weeks. But also there's the opportunity to bring forward some of those food bank items as well. But we really want to see all the men. Okay, I think we had 70 men the last time we had a breakfast. So we'd love to see 80 at least at our next breakfast on the 19th. I don't know who here is interested in football. Who is interested in football? Well, I'm actually not particularly interested in football myself anymore, as Liverpool have been space jammed, for anyone who's seen that movie. I don't quite know what's happened. But before we had kids, I was allowed, Zara let me, go over and watch Liverpool play. And I used to go over with some boys from Monaghan, and we used to do it really cheap and cheerful. We stayed in the Formula One hotel. Okay, now you can tell that that's a good hotel by the sound of it, can't you? The Formula One hotel in Liverpool, I'm sure Leah knows it well. And we would have went there. We paid £30. We got for our £30 a double bed and a single bed on top, okay? And we put as many men from Monaghan as would fit into that, okay? It probably, I don't know where it stands, whether that's right or wrong, but we did it. Okay, £30, it was great. And every time we went to Liverpool, we got a mixed grill. I've no idea why. But it was like a tradition, a mixed grill. Does anybody here love a wee mixed grill? It's just incredible, isn't it? It's a wonderful gift from the Lord. A mixed grill. And one day, it was post-match. Liverpool had beaten Man City 3-0. Okay, so you know this is a story of faith here. Miracle story. It wasn't the Ulster revival, but it was, you know, a while ago. Andy Carroll scored 2 goals, which is another miracle. And all that sort of stuff, and we were top of the world enjoying our mixed grill, and you're not going to believe what happened. As we sat in this kind of bar restaurant place and all, the Liverpool players came in. Okay, now if they come in now, I'd go over and punch them, but at that stage I was impressed by them. Okay, and the Liverpool players came in, but it was all security. Okay, it was all security, and we were sitting eating our mixed grill, like, just, I nearly dropped my sausage. Yeah. Okay. And suddenly these guys went in, and I thought, this is unbelievable. There's Raul Morales. Some of you are going, who? Okay. There's Andy Carroll. Okay. All these sort of things. Right. All these players go in, and then they pull this sort of little, I don't know what you would call it. What's the right word for it? A wee sort of barrier, a little barrier across. Okay. And we weren't allowed in there. But we spent our whole time just looking. And we could see some of the dynamics, you know, going on there. We could see that there was one guy, he's a Portuguese fellow, I think he was, Raul Morales, very quiet, didn't talk to any of the other players. We were analysing the body language here, Monaghan experts here, analysing all the body language. We were looking at this and all that sort of stuff. Well, but here's the reality. We didn't know what was going on behind that little barrier. We had no idea. And even if we'd wanted to, there were security guards not letting boys like us in. Okay? They were saying, no, you're not allowed in here. This place isn't for you. Well, I really have a conviction this week, and I'm only going to share this morning because we have an enrollment service in Marilyn where I've got a different message to bring there. So I'm only sharing this here because I've just felt it on my heart for you, and it's this, that there shouldn't be anything in our church where there is a kind of barrier across where some people are allowed in and others aren't. Amen? And you know, for the last 9 years, it's easy for me to remember how long I've been in Marilyn because I just look at Eliza. She was only 4 months when we arrived, and she's now nine. So for the last 9 years, and it wasn't new to Dollingstown at all, because it did happen before in a different way. But obviously one of my key things that I've been really passionate about, where I've kind of shared pretty much every week, and of course Emma and Carlton and everybody else who's been here on staff have joined in with this, is just that there's, you know, coffee at the back, but there's prayer ministry at the front. And maybe for some of us, that's been something that's been really helpful. Because we've had seasons where we've been struggling or in pain or just times when we've wanted more of the Lord, and we've come forward to that place and trusted those that had been trained to do prayer ministry with that. But maybe for some of us it feels a wee bit like we're behind the barrier and we're looking and going, what on earth is going on there? What on earth is happening there? What's all this about? And you maybe have the feeling that that would never be something that you personally could take advantage of. And I suppose when myself and the staff and some very special other people who join us go round door to door, one of the things we're so struck by is when we offer prayer on the doorstep, some people have never been prayed with in their entire lives. And yet it strikes me, wouldn't it be awful if there were people in the church who had never known this wonderful gift, which is a New Testament formula in like the book of James and all, that you call people to lay hands on, to pray, to anoint with oil. Wouldn't it be a tragedy if there were people in the church who had never had this wonderful opportunity? I think it would be a real tragedy. And very simply, I have no idea really what I'm going to say about Matthew 9. So the good news for you is when the time's up, I'll just stop. Because I have no idea really what I'm going to say about this. But I just want us to look at this little story of the healing of the paralytic and just draw out one or two little ideas that I think might be helpful for us to understand why we might come forward for prayer ministry Sunday by Sunday or on Sundays where we feel led to do so. The passage starts Matthew 9, verse 1, and getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. Okay? And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. Now, what we are told here by Matthew is about the presence of Jesus. He actually made a journey, got onto a boat, crossed over some water, and came to a place. Jesus was present in that place. And the whole reason of why we have prayer ministry as an offer on a Sunday morning is we believe Jesus to be present. We believe Jesus to be present. And I think we all say that, don't we? I mean, in some of our liturgies and some of our language, we say, the Lord is here, and everybody responds, His Spirit is with us. We lift up our hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Okay, we say these sorts of things. We say the Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. But I wonder, do we really believe that? Because here is my real conviction that where Jesus was, places were not unchanged as a result. We're going to see here is a story where Jesus gets in a boat, crosses a body of water, comes to a city, and suddenly we're going to see people bringing to him their sick. Because the idea is, if Jesus is there, it'll leave no situation unchanged. Now, that doesn't mean every single time we come into contact with Jesus, all our problems go away. It does not mean that every single time we come for prayer, we'll walk away with, you know, a healed leg or a healed back or whatever. But it means we will not be unchanged as a result. It's never a waste of time coming into the presence of Jesus. He changes things. He impacts situations. And as a Christian, why would we not bring our things to him, knowing that he is, as Stuart spoke last week, the turnaround king? The reason why I call people forward for prayer ministry, and Emma does likewise, and everybody else who preaches here, is because we believe that as you hear the word of God preached, that the Lord can be doing things within you, but there's something really special about coming forward and having that sealed in the moment. You know, there's a wonderful scripture, again in the book of James, where it says, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If you know that Jesus is here, and his Spirit is with us, why not come, whether we have a need, or whether somebody else has a need, or whatever our need, and draw near to him, knowing that he has made us this invitation, that he will draw near to us. Very simple first point, and there only is 27 points. I have no idea how many points there are. Very simple first point, presence of Jesus. This is why we call forward for prayer ministry. We believe that if Jesus is here, he changes things. You don't have to come forward for prayer ministry to be changed. You can be changed in other ways, but this is a means of grace, which I fully believe in, that we have, as the Bible says, hands laid on us and we're prayed for, and that we are healed as a result of this. It goes on to say, behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Now, if the first point was presence, the second point is Jesus' perspective. Now, I love this, that Jesus in this place, he sees these friends bringing a paralytic to him, and it says he's impressed by their faith. It says here in this ESV, seeing their faith. Another translation, it says impressed by their bold belief. Wouldn't it be mighty if we could impress Jesus? I'm not even sure theologically if we can do that. But it does say it in Scripture that Jesus was taken aback. He was impressed. He couldn't believe the faith of these guys. Now, we know from other versions of this story, although it's not in Matthew itself, that they do this in quite a strange way. They dig a hole in a roof and lower the paralytic before Jesus, and he's impressed by their faith. Folks, I am desperate to lead. I'm desperate to be part of a church that would impress Jesus with our faith. Are you not? Who here would love to impress Jesus with our bold belief? There's other times in the Bible Jesus is astonished by their lack of faith. Which do you want to be? I'm sure I know the answer. We want to be people, not that Jesus would be astonished by our lack of faith, but astonished by our faith to believe. And so Jesus' perspective is, wow, I love this. I mean, it is damaging the roof, I can see, but I love the faith. But here's the really interesting thing about Jesus' perspective. Jesus' perspective is different than everybody else's. It's different than the man on the mat. It's different than the friends who are carrying them. It's different than the whole crowd around him. Because here's the thing. Everybody around, apart from Jesus, including the man on the mat, thinks that the man's biggest problem is his paralysis. And Jesus actually can see that actually any human being's biggest problem is not necessarily physical infirmity. That he sees that this man's biggest problem is a sin issue. Okay? Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that for this reason. I From my experience, I've been a minister for 15 years and been a Christian for a lot longer than that. I know that if you have a healing service, that people will come forward. Okay, you can have a healing service in the most sort of dry congregation ever, okay, who have no faith whatsoever. Zero faith, minus faith. Some of them barely believe in God. But if you say we're going to have a healing service and you have a wee space at a rail and stuff, people will come forward. Physical healing is actually pretty easy to get people to come forward to receive prayer for. A really difficult thing in Northern Ireland, okay, and I'm counting Monaghan and we'll say Ulster, okay, so we're all in this boat, okay, but a really difficult thing to do is to say to people, come forward if you want more of God. And yet, you know, if we draw near to him, he draws near to us. He wants to give us more of himself. And so we might think our only issues are physical issues and we should only come for prayer when we've got a physical problem. Now, that would be great if we would do even that, okay? If you've got a physical problem, bring it to the Lord. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace, but he also wants to do loads of other things. He wants to encourage you, direct you, strengthen you, and he wants to do all of that. And you know, if we would get to the place where we in the church really believed in the power of God to change things, well, can I tell you, you would have a whole lot more testimonies to share with your friends who don't think that Jesus changes things. And if they could see that, like Johnny, okay, and all Johnny's friends, I can pick on him because he's very secure, okay, all Johnny's friends, if Johnny's friends all know, when something goes wrong for Johnny and Beth, okay, when something goes wrong for Johnny and Beth, he runs to church and he gets prayer. Now, that proves that he's not a functional atheist. Many of us are. Because, you know, we say we believe in Jesus, but when something goes wrong, it's all just medical. Okay, we'll go down that route. Well, a person of faith, they do the medical thing, of course they do, but they also believe that God can change it. Jesus' perspective was different. But look at this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, they called him, "This man is blaspheming." If he was a man, he would be blaspheming, but he's God. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and went home. What a story. Jesus' presence is the reason why we call people forward for prayer ministry. Jesus' perspective is that we can have 100 reasons to come forward for prayer ministry, not just physical healing, although that's a very important one. This is Jesus' power. His power. 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 Okay, which is it? I have no idea. What is it? Power. 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 It's a power. Okay. Well, it's Jesus' power. Okay. I need to watch more Blue Lights. Okay. Get this accent nailed down. Okay. His power. Okay. Just ignore how I'm saying this. His power. Okay. His power. You know, I have completely, and the staff know because I shared this with them, I have completely misread this story for whatever. I'm 42, but I haven't been a Christian for 42 years, but let's say 25 years, I've completely misread this story. Because what I thought happened was that the paralytic came down before Jesus. Jesus was impressed by their bold belief, and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then all these people were, you know, having a go at him because they're like, he's a blasphemer and all that sort of stuff. And he said, well, he says, which is easier to do? Is it easier to forgive this man's sins, or is it easier to do this? Rise up and walk. Okay, and I always understood that what Jesus was saying was, it's actually a lot easier to physically heal somebody than to spiritually heal them, because the spiritual healing that I'm going to do for this man is going to mean I'm going to have to go to the cross. You understand what I mean? But that's not what this passage actually says. It says this, which is easier to say? Okay? Now you tell me which is easier to say. Let's imagine this morning, these doors open and somebody comes in with a mat, okay? And they come and they set a paralyzed person, a paralytic, right here. And I'm standing up here preaching this sermon, okay? And suddenly I'm like, oh dear, this is, you know? Now you tell me which is easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven. That easy? Easy? Right? Okay. Now we'll do a wee straw poll in a second. Or is it easier for me to go, get up and walk? Okay. Put up your hands if you think it's easier for me to say your sins are forgiven. Yeah. Who thinks it'll be a lot easier for me to go, up and walk? Okay. Nobody. Right? Because what Jesus is doing is, he's using the verifiable to prove the unverifiable. Do you see what I mean? And the critics of people who believe in prayer ministry will say, well, people are always getting their headaches healed. But how often are they getting serious illnesses healed? But folks, can I tell you, Jesus has power. Jesus has power. You know, when I was in Lisburn Cathedral, I had an incredible boss there called Dean Sam Wright. He's just a wonderful, amazing leader who I've kept in contact with, and he's still a person I would go to for wisdom. You think, lucky you do, because you don't have much. But I go to him many times, and 10 months ago, Sam got a diagnosis of cancer, and he's been off for 10 months, he was told that, you know, it was treatable, but it wasn't curable. And wonderfully, I was speaking to him this week, and he's told his church, so he won't mind me telling you, this week he told me that the consultant looked at his scan, and he is cancer-free. There's not a trace of cancer. And the consultant didn't call it a miracle, but she said, this is better than we could have ever expected. There are so many stories I could tell you. I could tell you, not long after I became the leader of New Wine Ireland, it was COVID, and we had a bit of a go at running a conference online, which I'm sure you can imagine wasn't too exciting, but it was wonderful because we had great worship online, and then we had I did a little talk on the opening night, and basically what people did was they sort of stuck screens up in gardens. They were doing it in Cork, they were doing it in Lisburn, they were doing it everywhere. Put screens up in gardens and things, and people watched it socially distanced, you know. Some people watched it on their homes on their own. And one lady watched it in her own home, and she'd been deaf in one ear since birth. And during the course of that, she was quite an age, during the course of that little online thing, Glynis Matchett, who's our prayer ministry person for New Wine, she prayed coming out of my talk, and there was a great pop in the lady's ear, and her ear was completely healed. She was in Marilyn, when we had prayer ministry training not very long ago, and she shared this testimony. Her ear's been completely clear ever since that night in COVID. We have a powerful, powerful, powerful God. I need to stop. I should definitely write my sermons, not make them up. Okay? Because I've only got 2 minutes. You might say I don't have 2 minutes, but I'm taking 2 minutes, okay? So I don't think I need to do the last couple of points, but I just want you to see Jesus' presence, if he's present here, which I believe he is, changes everything. Let's draw near to him. Jesus' perspective is that we all need him. We sing, don't we, that song, Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Or the older version of that, I need you, whatever. Anyway, the point is they both talk about needing God. And then you say to somebody, do you need prayer? And they say, no. His perspective is that we all need him. We all need a touch from him. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, we all need a touch. Maybe we don't even need a touch ourselves, you're saying, but what about, have you nothing to carry to Jesus? Somebody else? Have you nothing to thank Jesus for? You just want to come up and mark? His perspective is there's a lot of reasons to come to him. And his power is such that he can change things. He can really change things. You know, what I love is before he actually heals this man, what does he say to him? He says, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. Take heart, my son." And you know, one of the most beautiful things about prayer ministry for me in my years of being a Christian and running forward constantly for prayer is that even when I'm not completely healed, that I'm really encouraged. I went to Coleraine and the Cosmic Coast Vineyard were doing prayer on the streets, and there was a queue. I mean, this is an encouragement for us all. There was a queue of people in Coleraine looking for prayer on the streets. Just a seat with a healing banner and a queue of people. And I got in that queue that day because I had an issue with, I'd completely wrecked my cruciate ligament, my medial ligaments, my meniscus, everything in your knee you can mess up. I messed up. And I sat down that day on that seat and got prayer. I still needed 3 operations after it. But I felt an incredible heat in my knee, an incredible sensation that I'd never experienced before in the very depths of my knee. And you know, the thing for me was, it was just a great encouragement from the Lord that he was active. He didn't heal anything, as far as I know. I still needed a surgeon to take a bit of hamstring tissue, make me knee cruciate, and you know, all those sorts of things. I've only got 2/3 of my cartilage. So I don't believe I was healed, but I believed to sense the presence of God. And it was a take heart moment. And what I would love to do just for just a couple of minutes now, and we will finish quite soon because I've got to go to enrollment. What we will do for just a couple of minutes, I'm just going to ask a couple of couples just to come either side here. And here's what I would just love us to do. I would love, and please don't feel you have to, and at any stage, never feel you have to do anything, okay, ever. But there's a couple of couples here. There's actually 3 maybe, is there? People willing to just do this. And here's very simply what I want them to do. It's going to be very quick. If anybody wants this very biblical idea of being anointed with oil, and oil speaks of joy and encouragement, also speaks of the Holy Spirit. All I very simply want is, as people come forward, if you want to say, "I want prayer for my brother," or something like that, they will do 2 sentences of prayer. Just 2 sentences. They're going to be docked wages if they do any more than this. Okay, 2 sentences of prayer maximum. But then they're going to say this. They're going to say, "Take heart, Stuart," or "son." I don't call him son often. Okay, but I'm going to call him it now. "Take heart, son," because that's what Jesus says, "son." "Take heart, son." "Take heart, daughter, Anne. Jesus is here." And then they might anoint your hand, or if you prefer, they'll anoint your forehead if you wish. But this is just going to be a little moment of stepping forward and encountering the Lord Jesus for a blessing. Now, don't feel you have to say anything. Just come forward, just say, "I just want a blessing." "Take heart, Bill. Jesus is here." Take heart. Let's all stand together. Maybe some of the musicians would just give us a little bit of, you know, music here. Very gentle music, please. Just as we respond. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are present and your Spirit is with us. And so we lift up our hearts to the Lord. We draw near knowing that you draw near to us. And Lord, some of us need healing. Some of us need help. Some of us need guidance. Some of us just need strengthening. But every single one of us would benefit from hearing from heaven, "Take heart, son or daughter. Jesus is here. Jesus is here." So let's just start coming forward for a blessing, if you so wish. Thank you, Lord. Can I just say, We love the balcony so much. These are great. And please don't ever feel like you're behind the ribbon or behind the barrier. We love. If you want to come forward for just a short blessing, you'd be very welcome to do so. Mm.